Well, good evening. It's good to see everyone tonight on this rainy Sunday night. We have visitors in our crowd, and it's always a pleasure for you to be here, and we welcome you back at every opportunity that you have to be with us here at O'Neill. Years ago, a Frenchman who had met the displeasurement of Napoleon, he was put into a dungeon. And in this dungeon, it seemed that he was forsaken by his friends, that he was forgotten by everyone of the outside world. In his loneliness and in his despair, he takes a stone and he scratches into the wall. In his cell, nobody cares. One day, though, in the corner there, a chute comes up through the cracks of the stone, the floor of the dungeon, and it begins to reach toward the light, toward the window of the top of the cell. He watered it each day, he took care of it, and eventually it grew into a beautiful blue flower. He crossed out those words, and he wrote some new words on there. And those new words, he scratched into the wall, God cares. Yes, God cares. He cares for you, and He cares for me. Will, I thank you for leading that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Leaning, just think about those words. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in the pilgrim way. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What comforting words that we get, that we sing about, and that comes from a statement of Moses back in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27, when he said, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." God is our refuge. He has those everlasting arms. They're there. They're extended for us to lean upon during different times of our life. How wonderful it is to know that God is eternal. He's always been, and He always will be. It's even more wonderful to know that God, He is our refuge, and that we can always lean upon those everlasting arms of God. But see, sometimes we don't lean on those everlasting arms. Sometimes we're like this man. This man who was walking along this narrow path, and he wasn't paying very much attention and to where he was going, and he slips over the edge of a cliff. And as he fell, he grabs hold of a branch or the side of the cliff, and he's holding on and he's hollering and screaming, "Help! Is there anybody there?" And a voice calls out, and he says, "Who's that?" And the voice replies, "It's God. Do you trust me?" The man says, "I completely trust you, Lord." So God tells him, "Good. Let go of the branch." There's a long pause. He's having to think. He cries out again, "Is there anybody else up there?" You see, that's what happens sometimes with us, isn't it? That's what happens with us. We're crying for Lord for help. And He provides us with answers. And then He gives us an answer, and we don't like that answer. So we want to say, "Is there something else out there?" Far too many times we react like that man does. We see no hope and we want answers, and when we receive them, again, we really don't like them. We find ourselves saying that we trust Him. But do we really trust in the everlasting arms of God? Do we really trust those arms? When you think about the everlasting arms of God, His everlasting arms are our arms of salvation. Those arms are arms of salvation. God's arms, they're gracious. They're saving arms. Paul exclaims and he tells that the wages of sin is death. We know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But we know when we sin that we deserve death. But He has given us those arms of salvation because He says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through those arms of salvation that He gives us a gift. He gives us the gift of eternal life. In Titus 2, verse 11, here we have Paul exclaiming, and he says, "For the grace of God brings salvation to who?" It's appeared to who? To all men. It's not given anymore to just one select group. It's given to everybody. We've talked about that in our Wednesday night class when we're talking reading in Romans. It's not just give to the Jews. It's give to the Gentiles as well. We hear, as we go through the Bible and we read and talk about the arms of salvation, we can't help to think but about Paul and what Paul says to the brethren at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2. He tells them, "You have He quickened. He's made alive. He's made you alive. What were you before? Before you were alive through Jesus Christ, what were you?" He says, "You're dead. We were dead in our trespasses. We were dead in sins. We walked according to the course of the world. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air, with the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." That's who we were. That's who you were. He says, "Among whom also we have had our conversation in times past of the lust of our flesh." And what did you do? You fulfilled the desires of the flesh. You fulfilled the desires of the mind and were by nature. What were we? You were the children of wrath. That's what you were. But what did He do? He extended those arms of salvation to us, didn't He? God, who was rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, what did He do? We were dead in our sins. You were dead in your sins. I was dead in my sins. But what did He do? He's made us alive. He's quickened us together by Christ. By grace we are saved. He's raised us up again to walk how? To walk in a new life. Those arms of God, how wonderful they are. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. It's not just here. It wasn't then. It's not just now. It continues on. Those arms of salvation continue to reach until the ends of the world. For by grace, He says, you're saved through faith. And not of yourselves. What is it? It's a gift. Those arms of salvation, those reaching out to us, that's a gift that's given to us. It's not of our works, not of any, lest any of us should boast. It's a gift given to us. If we will, what does He say here? Jesus says, "For if you believe not that I'm He," He says, "you're going to die in your sins." Again, do you believe me? He says, "If you don't, you're going to die in your sins. I'm giving you this gift. It's yours to take." He tells them in Luke 13, verse 3, He says, "Nay, but except you repent, what's going to happen to you? If you don't take these arms of salvation, what's going to happen?" He says, you're going to perish. What did He tell them? In Mark 16, verse 16, He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Again, these arms of salvation, they're given to us for what? For us to believe, for us to trust and obey. But it's up to us to do that. If we will just put our arms, or put our faith in those arms into the Lord Jesus Christ, if we would believe in Him as the Messiah, we believe in Him as the Son of the living God, put our trust completely in Him, sincerely repent and change and turn from our ways and walk that path that He wants us to walk, renounce and confess all those sins and put those things behind us, obey His command to be baptized for what? The remission of our sins. The arms of salvation are there, and we will be saved. Those everlasting arms of God are there for us. Those everlasting arms of God are also arms of strength. When we become a Christian, He gives us the strength to live that Christian life, leaning on the everlasting arms. We can say, as the psalmist said in Psalms 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." When we're going through hard times, when we're going through disappointments, those everlasting arms of strength are there to help us to make it through another minute, through another hour, through another day, through another year, whatever it is that's besetting us. We could say again, as the psalmist said in Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2, what did he say? I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from whom? My help comes from the Lord, which made the heaven, which made the earth. That's where my help comes from. That's where my strength comes from. We can say, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, verses starting in verse 28, those triumphant words of Isaiah, when he said, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He faints not, neither is He weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He gives power to those who are faint, and to them that has no might, what does He do? He increases our strength. Even to the youth that shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall." But what does He say? "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew" what? "Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When we feel like giving up, those arms of strength are there for us to grab a hold of, for Him to renew our strength in Him. It's kind of like a young boy. Brother Guy was talking about following in the steps of your dad or of your parents and things this morning. But think about a young boy. Here, this dad is up on the roof, and his son wants to climb up to where dad is. And here dad is. He's climbing up on the ladder, and he gets a little scared. Halfway up, he gets scared. He looks down. He's frightened, and he begins to cry. And what does the dad say? The dad says, "Son, don't look down. Look up at me. Keep climbing." The boy looks up at his father. Fears go away. And he climbs safely to the top. When Peter says, "Lord, can I come out to you?" And Jesus tells him to come. And as he's walking on the water, what does he begin to do? He begins to look down. He begins to look at the waves. He begins to look at all these things that are happening around him, except for one thing that he should be paying attention to, and that's to Jesus. His eyes fell off of Jesus, and he begins to cry, and he begins to sink. And when that happens, what do we do? We look up to the Father. We look up to the arms that are reached out for us, those arms of strength. That's what we need. When troubles come, when trials come our way, when Satan tempts us with whatever it is that he tempts you with, whatever it is that he tempts me with, we need to look up to God. We need to reach for those everlasting arms, those arms of strength. Leaning on those everlasting arms, we can say, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, For the which cause I also suffer these things," he says. "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believed," he says, "and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." Paul could tell Timothy, those arms of strength, the promises that he makes, he's never going to go back on them. You can always grab and take hold of those arms of strength. Those everlasting arms of God are also arms of love. God is love. God, through Jeremiah the prophet, what did he say to him? "I have loved thee with an everlasting love." How wonderful that is, to have an everlasting love. Someone who loves us so much, and that love is never going to end. What did Paul write to the Romans there in Romans 5, verse 8? He says, "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners," he loved us. While we were sinners, he loved us. "And Christ died for us." In 1 John 4, verse 10, John wrote, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and that He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." His love for us is unending. the arms of love that is spread, that He extends to each and every one of us, is just uncomparable. So God, how much do You love us? Just how much do You love us? He loved us this much. That's how much He loved us. When we think about our blessings, the showers of blessings that each of us have, when we think of the climax of the love of God that He had for us in sending His only Son, His only Son, to die for us, who paid the price for my sins, who paid the price for your sins, who was the propitiation for our sins. He can save us, can He? Because He's already paid the price. God loved us by giving us His only Son. So we can be assured that if God loved us that much, He will always love us that much. If we will only put our faith, put our trust in Him, we can say, as Paul said to the Romans, we are more than conquerors. Why are we more than conquerors? Because who do we have? We have God. We have Jesus on our side. What can separate us from the love of God? He told them, He said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, none of those things can separate us from the love of Christ. Where is that love of God? It is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's where we find the love of God. That's where we find those arms of love. That's why we love Him. That's why we honor Him. That's why we serve Him. Because of those arms of love. We love Him because He first loved us. God loved us, and we ought to obey Him, and we ought to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. That's our greatest duty to Him. God's arms are also arms of guidance, arms that will guide us through times when we don't know which way to go. We don't know what we're confused. We're hurt. We don't know exactly what to do. But just as a father who was going to take the hand of his son is going to lead him through the darkness of night, so does our everlasting Father take us with those arms of guidance and lead us through this world. He leads us where we need to go. And we can think about here as David says in Psalms chapter 23, when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Think about that. Think about as He is guiding us with those arms of guidance. He makes us to lie down in pastures that are green. He leads us beside those waters that are still, that are places that are calm. He restores our soul when we need restoring. He leads us in those paths that are righteous. He leads us on those paths that are good. He leads us when we're going through troubling times. And when we're going through those troubling times, those arms of guidance provide us that peace, so that we will have no fear, because we know that He is with us, that we are on His team, we're on His side. He is there to comfort us. Another song that we sing is number 48, I believe, in our song books. I know you can't read that in the back. Just want to read that first verse there. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere. Anywhere He leads us, we can safely go. Anywhere He leads me in this world below, anywhere that Jesus is going to lead you, it's going to be a path that is right. It's not going to be a path that you're going to fall off a cliff. It's going to be a path that is right. Anywhere With Jesus, I'm not afraid. Anywhere without Him, His dearest joys would fade. If I'm not with Him, joys will fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I'm not afraid, because He is there to comfort us with those arms of guidance. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere, with Jesus, I can safely go. Those arms of guidance are there for us if we will only take them. The last point tonight, talking about the arms of God, the everlasting arms of God, are those arms of rest. Solomon tells these words to Israel. And he says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel, according to all that He hath promised." What did He give His people? He gave them rest. He gave them rest according to what? The promises that He made. Has He made promises to us? Has He made promises to those who are His? Yes, He has. Will He leave us? No. Will He forsake us? No. He will always be there for us. Just as the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 37, verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." That's what we have to do. Wait patiently for Him. And as we are waiting patiently for Him, we can find rest. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, He says, "You come unto Me. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." And what's He going to give us? His arms of rest are there, those everlasting arms. He says, "I will give you rest." He says, "You take My yoke upon you, and you learn of Me." He says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." And if you do that, what are you going to find? You shall find rest unto your soul. Do you have a soul that's worried? Do you have a soul that is one that is not at peace? One that is not finding rest? Jesus says, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Those arms of rest. Brother Guy mentioned that in class this morning to those who were in the auditorium class. Revelation 14, verse 13. When He says, "I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." Okay, those that die in the Lord, what are they going to be? It says. He says they're going to be blessed. People who die in the Lord, they're going to be happy. Why is that? That they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. How comforting are those arms of rest. Those arms that have been extended to you and I. Those arms of rest that amid the trials, the sorrow, the tragedies, the heartaches, the troubles in this life, we may go to those everlasting arms of God, and there we'll find that sweet rest from our labors. In the everlasting arms of God, we find salvation. In the everlasting arms of God, we find strength. In the everlasting arms of God, we find love. In the everlasting arms of God, we find guidance. And in those everlasting arms of God, if we are in His Son, we find rest. His arms are always extended to us. It's just up to you and me if we take it. Tonight's invitation song. Tonight's invitation song is, "Let Him have His way with thee." Tonight, won't you let Him have His way with thee? His arms are extended. Won't you come while together we stand and while we